So good to see everyone out this morning. We have some who are visiting with us. We're so glad you're here. We would invite you to open your Bibles up, study along with us this morning as we open the Word of God to study from it. And if you have an opportunity to come back and be with us, we want you to do that whenever you have that opportunity. I have a lot of things I want us to talk about this morning, but before I begin, I want to thank the elders so much for the opportunity they've given me to speak twice a month here at Jones Road. It's been 7 months, and I tell you, for me at least, that 7 months has flown by. I appreciate so much the opportunity they've given to me, and I want to thank everyone for your encouragement. It's been overwhelming, the wonderful thoughts and comments and encouraging words that you've given to me. I appreciate that so much. What would you say is the most popular verse in the Bible? What is the verse that you hear the most in your life? One man said, you know, you take the most reprobate person in society, someone who's never been to church, never opened the Bible, and they know two verses. They know 1 Timothy 5 and verse 23, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. And they know Matthew 7 and verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. I don't know about y'all, but the latter of those two is one I hear all the time. Matthew 7 and verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. And almost every time I hear it, it's used in a way that Jesus did not mean it to be used. In a way that is absolutely unscriptural. And so this morning, if you would open your Bibles to Matthew 7, I want us to look at this passage and see what it is that Jesus is trying to get across here. What He's trying to tell us in the text. Matthew 7, let's read the first 5 verses. Jesus says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. First off, this morning, I want us to look at what the text is saying. What the text is saying. And it's very simple. Jesus says the way, the attitude, and the standard by which you judge other people is the way, the attitude, and the standard by which I will judge you in the final judgment. Jesus here is condemning unrighteous, abusive judgment. And we understand that, I think. As Christians, we understand that this is what Christ is trying to get across. Unrighteous judgment is wrong. And to understand even more fully Matthew the 7th chapter, remember, Christ is in the middle of preaching His Sermon on the Mount. And we need to look at the context of that sermon. The entire thrust of the Sermon on the Mount, the major concept that Christ is getting across, is to show the complete distinction between true religion and false religion, between spiritual truth and spiritual hypocrisy. And He says of the Pharisees in Matthew 5 and verse 20, I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Your judgment cannot be like that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Your righteousness must exceed that of theirs. Because Jesus understood very clearly that the Pharisees had a critical spirit. They had the wrong attitude. They had taken the Scripture, perverted it into their own oral traditions, their man-made traditions, and then were judging people with abusive judgment based not on Scripture, but based on these traditions and based on this perversion that they had created out of the Scripture. They bullied and condemned others on the basis of these very traditions. And if you'll remember, at least two times in the Bible, they turned their judgment toward Christ and His disciples. And they condemned them for not washing their hands, as the tradition said. And they condemned them for supposedly working on the Sabbath in accordance with the traditions that they had laid down. This is the type of judgment that Jesus is condemning here. This unrighteous judgment, judging with a critical heart and a wrong attitude. And He shows it so clearly in Luke, the 18th chapter. You remember this example where Christ is talking about the Pharisee and the publican who went up in the temple to pray. And the Pharisee's prayer was, "God, I thank You that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get." This is a perfect representation of the problem with the Pharisees. "God, thank You for making me me and not like this pitiful person over here." And it was with that attitude that they went around judging people in a wrong way, in an unrighteous way. And then Jesus brings up the example of an impeded eye. An eye that has a log coming out of it. And previously in the 6th chapter, in verses 22 and 23, Jesus talks about the eye. He says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." It's important that we have an eye that is not impeded. It's important that we have a heart and a mind that is righteous. Because sin always distorts our perceptions about ourselves and about other people. Sin is that log that gets in our eye, that impedes our correct perception. It distorts it. You'll remember 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, there where Nathan comes to David and he tells him about how the rich man who had all these lambs, he took the one ewe lamb from the poor man. And he sacrificed that one lamb for his visitor who had come. And it absolutely infuriated David. How could this man do that? He could see the evil in stealing that poor man's one little ewe lamb. But he could not see the greater sin that he had committed in stealing Uriah the Hittite's one wife and sending him to be murdered. He could see the sin of the rich man very clearly, but he could not see his own sin. He was blind to it. But he saw the other with clarity. Brethren, we've got to make sure that that's not the heart that we have. You know, and there are a lot of passages that we use in the Bible to say, "See, you shouldn't judge." But in all of these passages that you see before you, they all carry with it a wrong and unrighteous attitude in the judging. And that is what Christ is saying in Matthew 7. If that is your attitude when you judge, then that will be the standard, the attitude by which you will be judged. Look there at the end of James 4, verse 12. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. That is up to Christ. Final judgment belongs to Him. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's been given to Him by the Father. Brethren, that's what the text is saying. Don't judge in that way. Don't have that type attitude. Don't judge with unrighteousness in your heart. But now let's look at what the text is not saying. Jesus was not teaching that we should never, ever make any kind of judgment. Jesus was not teaching that we should never make judgments. Let that sink in to your mind this morning. Look with me in the 7th chapter in verse 6. Matthew 7 and verse 6, Jesus says, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Do not give what is holy to the dogs," Jesus says. Let me ask you a question. Who are the dogs? "Do not throw your pearls before swine." Well, who are the pigs? Do we not have to make a judgment on who is a dog and who is a pig to fulfill this commandment of Jesus Christ? Brethren, we have to, or else it is impossible to fulfill what Christ is teaching here. Judgment is not only allowed, it is required in order to obey this commandment. Jesus says in both instances, "Do not." This is a commandment from Jesus Christ, and we have to use judgment in distinguishing. Look with me in the 15th verse of chapter 7. Jesus says, "Beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." How are we going to beware of the false prophets if we don't make a judgment that they meet the characteristics of a false prophet? Jesus goes on to say, "You will know them by their fruit." We have ample passages throughout the Scripture that identify what a false teacher is. You know, a false teacher is not going to come in among us and get up in the pulpit and say, "Before I begin, I just want to let you know, I am a false teacher." Jesus says, "They will come to you in sheep's clothing." But if we're going to beware them as Jesus commanded here, we have to make a judgment about that. Jesus was not teaching that we should be equally tolerant of everything, never expressing an opinion on anything, never speaking out against sin. He was not saying you can never make a judgment ever. What Jesus was doing was making a very powerful statement about the need for discernment. Brethren, we are lacking in spiritual discernment today. We are lacking in that. Discernment is the idea of being able to decipher between that which is good and that which is evil, between that which is right and that which is wrong, and standing up and saying, "This is right and this is wrong." Jesus said in John 7 and verse 24, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Paul talks about, he writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, in verses 21 and 22, about the need for discernment. He says, "Examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil." And when he says, "Examine everything carefully," the idea of examination in the Greek is the word dokimazo, which is the same as discern. He says you need to examine, you need to discern, you need to test and judge everything. Everything. Not just some things, not just the actions of people, but everything. And when you examine everything, you need to do it very carefully. You need to be meticulous about it. You need to discern everything carefully. And when you find something to be good, something to be righteous and true, you hold fast to it, you cling to it, and you never let it go. Because it's good, it's right. But if we find something to be wrong, evil, unrighteous, He says you abstain from every form of it. The idea of abstaining is to turn from it and to get as far away from it as you can. You don't walk up to the line and say, well, you know, the Bible draws this line, but it doesn't say I can't be right here. That's not the idea. You get as far away from it as you can. Every form of evil. The King James Version says every appearance. If it even looks evil, you stay away from it. This is what discernment is. Distinguishing between that which is right and this is what is wrong. And the Hebrew writer in chapter 5 says that discernment is a characteristic. It is a trait of the mature. Of the spiritual mature. That they can distinguish, they can discern between good and evil. And if a person cannot do that, the Hebrew writer says that they are an infant in the faith as it pertains to righteousness. Brethren, we better be very careful. We better take time to look at ourselves and make sure that we are mature and not an infant in righteousness. Can we discern? Do we discern good from evil? Jesus is saying in Matthew 7, you have to. It's not optional. The Apostle Paul affirms the absolute necessity for making judgment. You remember in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, you remember what's going on there? How there is a brother in the congregation who has his father's wife, and Paul says, you know, this is something the Gentiles wouldn't even do. The godless people, the unrighteous people, they wouldn't even do this. And he says in verse 2, you have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who has done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this as though I were present. Paul says, I'm not even there, and I have already passed judgment on that brother. How could he do that? Because he had already discerned that what that brother had done was wrong. It was evil. And he wrote to them and said, it's wrong. To the extent that he says, you need to remove him from your midst. Brethren, if the occasion necessitated that today, would we be willing to do that? Would we be willing to stand on the truth of God and say, that is wrong, and remove a brother or sister in Christ from our midst? What the text is not saying, what Jesus is not saying, is that we can never, ever judge. But our judgment should be righteous judgment. Let's talk for a second about the world that we live in. See, we are surrounded by a culture that reflects a belief that everyone has a right to their own values, their own lifestyle, and that if you dare speak up against that, then you are judging someone. And the one thing that our tolerant culture is absolutely intolerant of is somebody judging someone else. That's the world that we live in. You know, we've passed the point of the culture used to tell us, well, everybody just tolerate each other. You know, we know y'all disagree, but could you just get along? We've passed the point of toleration to the point of equalization of all values, all beliefs, all standards. You want to believe in Allah? You want to believe in Buddha? You want to believe in Jehovah? It doesn't matter. They're all right. But brethren, not all values, not all beliefs, not all standards are good or right. You know, if you stand for truth, at some point you're going to hear something like, just basically, don't judge me. Don't judge me. You're not allowed to judge. Who are you? You're going to hear, you know, you said that the practice of homosexuality is wrong. Who are you to judge? Who do you think you are? Someone else's marriage or divorce is none of your business. You should not judge other people. It's none of your business. Leave it alone. You know, I'm not perfect. I have made my mistakes. So I'm not going to judge somebody else. Because I know that I'm not perfect. I'm in no position to judge whatsoever, to judge whether or not someone will be saved. Only God can look upon the heart. I actually had a Christian tell me this. I'm in no position to judge whether or not someone will be saved. It doesn't matter if they're baptized or not. I'm not the judge. Only God is. Only God can look upon the heart. Can I take 1 second and address that? Because I hear that from Christians. Only God knows the heart. In Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verse 23, the writer says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." The things that come out of your heart, your actions, your deeds, your words, everything that you do in life, the writer of Proverbs says it comes from your heart. Jesus says in Matthew 15 and verse 19, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, slanders." So if someone commits fornication, and we discern based on Scripture that that is wrong, and we point that out to that brother or sister in Christ, where did that fornication come from? Jesus said it came from their heart. But I'm being told I can't judge the heart. So what they're saying is, don't tell them they're wrong. Don't tell them that their sin is wrong because only God judges the heart. Brethren, that's not true. The Bible does not teach that. But I tell you what I can't judge. I don't know why they did it. I don't know what the intention was. I don't know what their motives were behind doing that. I don't know what was in their mind, but I do know that they did it. And I do know that the action came out of their heart. But you're going to hear these type things in the world. You know, I was driving the other day and I was listening to a radio program that I listen to quite often, and Joel Osteen was being interviewed, and I thought, well, you know, I'll listen to this. I'd like to know what he's got to say. And the guy asking the questions, he said, "You know, Joel, what's it like when you go on Larry King Live or you go on Oprah, and you know that standing on doctrinal truth, standing on the truth of God's Word, is not going to be accepted at all, and more than likely, you're going to be ridiculed. What is that like? And then he came back with a more specific question about Oprah. And he said, you know, Oprah's the one who said there are many paths to God. Multiple paths to God. It's not just through Jesus Christ. There are multiple paths. How did she receive the truth? And Joel Osteen said, well, she received it well. She received it very well. But you know, Oprah, she doesn't believe what you and I believe. But I'm not here to judge her. When I heard that, the first thing I thought was, there's an example for my sermon. But secondly, I thought, what is Joel Osteen saying to all the people that he preaches to on TV, all the people who are listening to this radio broadcast? He's saying that, you know, she doesn't believe that you have to go through Christ to get to God. But I'm not here to judge her. Brethren, the Bible does not teach that. That does not come from God's Word. And if we are going to say, you know, we can't judge. You can't judge someone. We need to understand exactly where that's coming from. It is coming from the world. It is coming from the pulpits of denominations. It is not coming from the Word of God. And we have to stop that. Because, I'll tell you, the reason I'm preaching this sermon, and as you can tell, I'm very adamant about it, is that this mindset is creeping into the hearts and minds of Christians. It's getting in the pulpits of once faithful churches of Christ. And they are being destroyed. Because the idea of you can't judge, it removes the Bible. It takes it away. There is no standard of right and wrong. And it's destroying churches in Bowling Green, in Nashville, in Birmingham, and in Atlanta. And it is being preached in this county. And brethren, we can't let that mindset into our hearts as Christians who will stand before the judgment seat of God. But it cannot enter Jones Road Church because it is unscriptural. It is false doctrine. The Bible deals in absolutes. Galatians 5, we know this passage. Paul says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Which are. There's no fuzziness there. There's no gray area. These are the deeds of the flesh. And then he says at the end of verse 21, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We can't get around it. It's the truth. And then he turns around and says, these are the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Brethren, some things in this life are right. They're always right. Period. And there are some things in this life that are wrong. Always wrong. Period. And we must stand on truth. Because the ability to discern, the ability to distinguish between good and evil, it lies at the very foundation of Christianity. It's at the very core. And unless we're able to discern and judge beliefs and lifestyles, if we are unable to say that something is right and something is wrong, then we miss the very purpose for which Christ put us here on this earth. What was that purpose? Why did Jesus come to the earth? What was Jesus' goal? What was His purpose? He tells us, John 10 and verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Matthew 9, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. Mark 2, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus' goal in coming to the earth was to seek and save those who are lost. That was His purpose. And He tells us in Matthew 28 that that is our purpose in this life. To go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Our job is to seek and save the lost. But brethren, if we cannot judge, then how can we discern who is saved and who is lost? No one would be lost. And that's exactly what the world tells us. Somebody may say, well, John Michael, you know, who do you think you are? You're not perfect. Boy, I admit that faster than anybody. I know very well what 1 John 1, verse 8 says. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I am not perfect. But brethren, our failures as human beings do not excuse us from the responsibility to discern good from evil, to make judgments that are necessary and required by God. My job is to take the truth of God. Take the Bible, study it, discern the truth from the text, apply it to my life, and then go and teach others the truth of God. And when I do that, when I am teaching someone from the Word of God, and somebody has a problem, they don't have a problem with me. They have a problem with God. And if I'm standing on the truth of the text, what God has said about sin and righteousness is true, no matter whose toes get stepped on. As Paul wrote in Romans 3 and verse 4, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. God is true. Brethren, let's aspire to be biblically correct. Biblically correct, not politically correct or culturally popular, but stand on the truth of God. And when we do that, biblical correctness demands judgment. It is not an option. Judge with righteous judgment is what Jesus says in John 7 and verse 24. That is not wrong. Then Jesus says in John 12 and verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings as one who judges him, the word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. Seven months of preaching, I tell you, I was hesitant to end on this type of a note. But I'll tell you, it's so important. We cannot, as Christians, allow this mindset into our hearts and into our minds and into the church. Jesus said, the word I spoke is what will judge you at the last day. Jesus is going to open the Word of God. And He's going to hold up the accounts of your life. And He's going to see how well your life measures to the standard. And I'm asking you this morning, if you're not a child of God, how do you measure to the standard? How do you measure to that which says that there are things that are right and the things that are wrong? And if you're doing the things that are wrong, you're separated from God. Will you come this morning and repent of those things? The Bible says to repent of evil things, of sin. Will you turn from that life and live for Him? Be faithful to Him? Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? And through obedience be buried with Him in baptism? Which is the only way that you come into contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. Which is the only thing that washes away your sins. And then you're saved. Not before. Will you do that this morning? Brothers and sisters in Christ, how are you measuring up to the standard that will judge us in the last day? Have you given in to this idea that, you know, don't judge me. We can't be judging. Jesus said it in Matthew 7. Will you come this morning and repent of that? Anything that separates you from God, will you repent of it this morning? While we stand and while we sing, won't you come?